from Germany.
You can run on for
Trump's
long
actions
time.
Against the globalists are night and day, defending our sovereignty, cutting off their money, and so much more. But then you've got the lobbyist in there, and it's the chief of staff, and it's the attorney general protecting the poison shots, protecting the chemical companies with the fluoride. And we can't be in a cult. We have to control this administration with grassroots firepower. And I could basically have whatever I wanted right now from the Democrats or the Republicans. I could call, not Trump, he's not doing it, but the Republican leadership. I could call them right now, today, and sell out, and all my problems would be solved. I'd be flooded with money like these other talk show hosts, these other big national hosts. I mean, I've gotten the calls recently. It's happened many times over the years. I've named names sometimes. You know, if they said it publicly, were dumb enough to try to buy me on publicly, I've talked about it. So that's how real this is. I've gotten a bunch of big calls. What do you want? What I want is to fight evil. What I want is this to stop. You couldn't give me $1 trillion to shut up about fluoride in the water or poison shots killing people. You think my soul's for sale? It's not even a question. But see, there's all these other people do it. And they're going to get us all killed. It's not altruistic to not sell out to evil. It's survival. It's not heroic to stand up for what's right. It's what builds civilization, people. Owen Benjamin's coming up. For those of you that have been holding, if you want to hold over till he's gone, I'll take your calls. I want to get to you. Let's jam in one right now. Brandon in Texas, you're on the air worldwide. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. I agree 100% with your take on it. I just wanted to bring up, after all these documents have been dropping lately, there was a memo that Obama sent out, I think it was December 8th, 2016, where he tasked various agencies to look into influence from Russia. One of them I found interesting is DHS was tasked to cyber activity against voting systems. I'm like, why does that sound familiar?
Because they were involved covering up the Chinese bringing it in. That's come out in the documents. They used that very group to do it.
Well, here's what I found that everybody's memory hold. I went back and Googled. If you Google DHS Georgia voting system hack, the same day they drafted this memo, a news story broke. It was in CNBC, NBC, where it was so bad that Kemp had to draft a letter to Jay Johnson to ask him, hey, what the hell? Why are y'all hacking and scanning our voting system? And I believe, with this, the way he tasked this, I think they were going to use that as the pretext to deny Trump office and say they actually hacked the voting systems, but they got caught like the dirty rats they are.
I remember back when that happened, so I'm sorry I interrupted you. Remind me, say what you said again. I remember that. We're going to pull it up.
Okay. So
yeah, there it is.
Google,
CNBC, Homeland Security tried to attempt hack of Georgia election database.
On the memo that was released about a week and a half ago, I think Julie Kelly released the full thing, but it has where they task like CIA, FBI to hacking and leaks, but one was cyber activity against voting systems, and they tasked that to DHS. DHS, weeks before that, tried to scan Georgia's system. So I believe they were going to pull the same kind of con job they did with the DNC server, blame it on Russians, and then use that as the pretext.
100%. That's what came out with Snowden was Vault 7, how the CIA frames governments for things they do. Digital.
Tulsi and Kristi Noem, they better be looking into this. Who did the hack? Why did they do the hack? Because I believe this was like the linchpin of their whole scam, and it didn't work because they got caught, so they had to rely on all the garbage with Concord and the Internet Research Agency to say that memes were being posted by Russia, and there's their proof of interference.
Yeah, and then I had the CIA and the FBI try to set me up with the Internet Research Group. They came as representatives to try to give me $3 million.
Yeah, it's totally ridiculous. I haven't seen anybody talk about it, but as soon as I saw that, my brain just started firing off. Why does that sound familiar? And sure enough, right there. And it wasn't like some random nobody website. It was like CNBC.
Well, by the way, did you just figure this out? Because it just broke today. I didn't even know this. It's in the news, what you just said.
Oh, I didn't know it was in the news today. I figured this out over a week ago because I read it, and I'm like, what the hell is this? And it was from
the memo.
Hold
on, Brandon. Don't hang up. If you want to hold for an hour, I'm going to come back to you. But
I'm cutting this on July 30th, 2025. That means you've got 7 days to take advantage of one of the biggest sales in the history of the AuctionStore.com. If you buy
any of our amazing supplements, the Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, all of the great products are there right now. Buy one already discounted, get the very same bottle, the very same product, absolutely free, but it's only running for 7 days. When you're a VIP for $30 a month, you get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special discounts, and more. That's how you take advantage of the buy one, get one free. This is only for VIP members, but anybody going to the store should be a VIP because you get $40 for subscribing for $30 a month. You make money on that, and you can cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for your support. When Trump first got into office, and we saw so much good until Elon left. And you know, I never totally trusted Elon, but I know a lot of the inside baseball and things, and I knew the Democrats really came after him, tried to destroy him, so that pissed him off. And I warned people, I said, the Trump administration, Susie Wiles running him out, could become really dangerous. And then he brought out the Epstein stuff, and Trump took the bait and tried to cover it up. And now it's a firestorm. They're going to have hearings. It's going to be a huge deal. And Trump needs to release everything. But now in hindsight, Now, Owen Benjamin, I've known him for years. He's a popular talk show host and comedian and been highly censored as well. And I've been seeing him talk about farming and, you know, family and avoiding nihilism. And really with AI and all the things that are happening, it's going to become clearer and clearer there's going to be a war on humans being independent. Wild humans. Free-range humans. Not domesticated humans. Because this whole AI plan is about taking over every function of your life and merging you with the machines to then phase us out. That's the official plan. As you have all know, Yuval Noah Harari and the WF has said, the future is non-human. Well, we've been defeating the globalists with just a small percentage of people that are really awake. As we awaken more and as things get more dystopic, it's going to be easier and easier to get people to take action. But we need to do it before all the robots and all the self-driving stuff rolls out, speaking of Elon, because they're already saying, oh, self-driving's 15, 20 times safer than humans. We need to ban humans driving. See? How about never living? Then you'll never die. You'll never have a problem if you never try. Why cook your own dinner? A robot can do it. It's what you're supposed to do. It's fun. To grill a steak or make a salad or plant crops or, you know, hey, why have sex? You can just have a test tube made. It's our entire biology. I mean, show the peacock spider. You know, it pops up in its mating dance and it's all part of its genetic expression. Well, you know, why even have spiders? We can just have little robot spiders. This is God's design. It's what we're supposed to do. It's what we're designed to do. It's not like, oh, the nuclear family, some invention. It's what we are. It's not like a lion pride. You have the male's role and the female's role. It's our genetics. And to go against it is to go against our fulfillment and our strength. So Owen Benjamin joins us, and it's great to have him on. OwenBenjamin.com, LADLETV. And it's good to have him. A lot of things to talk about. The state of the country and the world. Trump, preparedness, farming, parenting, avoiding nihilism, the importance of humor, and people who don't have it. So, Owen, great to have you back with us. I want to get your take on the state of the country and Trump and Epstein, where you see this going.
Bro, your intro just nailed it. It's like the fact is we're biologically predisposed, where our purpose is to do the very things that people are trying to replace. And that's why I always push the farming stuff and I always push the independent stuff. And now is the time to do it before all these systems come into place. And, non-GMO humans. I have a theory that movies with real humans in them will be called organic movies, where you go to a movie. Nah, no one goes to movie theaters, but it's like, do you want organic or just normal movies? And normal movies will just all be AI, but you have to pay a premium to see a real human being read the lines, you know?
I totally agree. My buddy Sean Johnson, we were hiking yesterday with my oldest daughter before we went for a swim, and he said, I believe in humanity, and I believe as this AI social credit score rolls out, people are going to rebel against it, and there'll be parties and clubs and churches and businesses where it's whoever has the lowest credit score is the coolest, and that's really the rebel that's built in there. And as people really begin to figure this out, I believe it's going to backfire.
100%, man. And I actually brought some stuff to show you, because I know sometimes I talk abstractly about farming, and in the past I've gotten myself in some hot water with some racial humor. So I'm trying to bridge the racial gap and show about farming. I grew this in Idaho, and I want to tell your listeners about non-determinant plants too, and just how many you can grow. So this watermelon I grew, and all the seeds in it are fertile seeds, because right now at the grocery store, you get a watermelon, you can't plant those seeds. They're determinant. You know, it's like they shut off at a certain time, where if you have a fertile watermelon, every seed can grow 10 more watermelons, and it's this infinite, thing. And then I brought some stuff.
Yeah, they're killing the cycle of life, and now it's almost weird to have a plant that, like, ooh, you mean plants reproduce forever?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Imagine they do that with humans, where it's like, you know, the Brave New World stuff and 1984 and all that. It's what they've already done to the food, where it's like, oh, you don't get to reproduce unless you're in this social category and you have to take this drug to make your sperm work or whatever. Whereas in God's creation, we have infinite abundance already. Like, one tomato has enough seeds in it to grow 1,000 tomatoes. And it's something that I'm really passionate about getting people pumped up about.
No, I'm telling you, but it's not just that this human stuff up front isn't as good as God and the perfection of it. It's designed to sabotage us and hurt us. So even if humans tried to make something better than God, we'd fail. But instead,
100%, because they're all about control, and control comes from dependence. And every parent knows that. It's like, as soon as you teach your kid to do something, they don't need you to do it anymore. And now they can do it at any time when they're not looking at you, when you're not around. And so a lot of these people, they're real broken guys, and they don't have their own families. A lot of them are really, like, messed up, or they don't whatever. So they take out their paternal instincts on the world, just like a lot of these cat ladies take out their maternal instincts on social media, where they want to treat us like we're little toddlers. Some of these, like, globalist types, they want to be a dad. That's the end of the day. They want to be a dad. They're so messed up mentally that they're like, okay, I'm going to, guide and teach and control the world, when no one wanted it. Like, no one consented to that. And so that's why I'm like, the more we take pleasure in doing the work, like when I travel, when I was on a sitcom, it's like they'd send a driver. And I used to hate that, because I like driving. I'm like, no, I enjoy driving. I like digging ditches. I like picking fruits, I used to do a bit about how picking cotton is really enjoyable. It's like little fluffy clouds. And that I was trying to reach out to the black community about that, but it did not go very well.
Well, the point is we're supposed to do it. Like I've had gardens and things when I had time to do it. And I've worked on farms and things when I was younger. You zen out and are high as a kite when you're doing it because you're designed to do it.
Dude, it's so good for depression and stuff. Because it's not like I have everything together. Like sometimes I'll talk about this stuff and people are like, yeah, man, must be nice. And I'm like, bro, I have so many stresses and problems. I'm like retarded, you know? It's not even that I've like figured it all out at all. It's just like a fact that when you're doing these tasks that a lot of people want to pay someone else to do or get a computer to do or whatever, it takes away purpose and it causes depression. And it's one thing that I'll say about my life or all the mistakes I've made or for better or for worse, I'm usually like really happy.
Well, let's take Amish. They ran away from Catholic oppression 400 years ago out of Europe, Germany, and Switzerland mainly. And they went all over the world, Hawaii, you name it, you know, the U.S., South America, everywhere. And they live 86 on average. We live 75 on average. They basically don't have cancer, don't have autism. And you can see right there what's happening. And so we know the modern system's killing us, and we know the other system is empowering us.
Yeah, and there's so much energy and so much food that's right there. And I totally understand that a lot of people would feel like it's unfair to say, go run into the forest or go to the country and start your own farm and they have a job and a normal life and a mortgage and all that. I'm not telling people to do that. Just start with like one plant in your windowsill or just like a little tiny garden. In World War II, they called them
victory.
What were they called?
Victory gardens.
Yeah, victory gardens. That's right. Because you feel power. Like you feel that little spark that's like everything's going to be okay. And if you don't do just a little bit of that, it's so easy to fall into nihilism. Like the end's already here and they have everything in place and everyone's like a moronic zombie and, you know, everyone's lying. It's like when you just see that little miracle of just a little plant and then you just eat one plant. Like right now I'm trying to grow oranges in Idaho and it's required a lot of effort. And I got one orange and it looked really like horrifying. You know, it looked like children, you know, Hills Have Eyes type vibe, but it still felt incredible that I grew a citrus in Idaho. You know, it's just like, it feels great.
Well, we can get into all the farming stuff and have you back on about that in general, but what is your grading of Trump 6.5, 7 months in? Where do you see it going?
Well, some people think I flip-flop a lot because I just don't change and the world kind of flip-flops. I still like him for the same reasons I liked him in the beginning. Like, I don't ever put my hope or faith in the government or anything. He is funny. And funny is very important because funny means that you have a baseline. So if someone's funny, that means that they have some standard because every joke is based off a standard. And so people that are just off in completely subjective, narcissistic land, they don't have a sense of humor.
And there's a lot of people sociopaths and psychopaths don't have humor.
They don't have humor. Like it's one of the biggest red flags.
Right. Humor's a real test. If people don't have humor, you got a problem.
Yeah, it is because humor assumes a collective or an outside of self truth. So I was telling somebody that I can't do song parodies anymore. The last one was the It's Too Late to Apologize or Yellow Ledbetter or that stuff because no one has a collective idea of new songs. You know, we all know, Free Fallin' and Painted Black and stuff like that, but there's no new songs. Like they're these huge artists, but no, like, you know, like Taylor Swift. I don't know any Taylor Swift songs or like someone else or like some other band or, you know, some rap guy. And it's like that with truth in general, where if we all don't have a sense of truth or like what is the standard, then there's no irony and there's no parody. And so that's why if someone doesn't understand humor, it's a big red flag. And number two, he represents the demographic of the majority of America. He's a white male. And so some people might think that sounds quote unquote racist, but imagine if a guy named Brandon was the head of Indonesia. You'd be like, that's been conquered. Like Brandon, right? So those two factors alone were the reason I was like, oh, he's better than Kamala Harris. He's funny. and he represents the majority demographic of America, and he's a male. And I think that leadership positions are very stressful and very, you know, they're very male centered. And I don't, you know, like, I don't think it's good to put women in those positions. And so,
in general, women don't want those positions.
They don't want the positions. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Because it's only a small percentage of men that thrive in high stress and get to where they like it. So it's not just that it's not women aren't built for it. Most men aren't built for it.
Exactly. Like, I'm at my peak right now, and I'm a pretty stress resistant, you know, large, loud man. And, you know, where I'm at right now is about like right where I want to be. Like, I would never want to be the president. It's just way too intense. And that just requires that type of dude. And so
I'm about to say, at 79, he's been in a war for 10 years. I mean, I can't believe he's handled it. I mean, just that alone is like, oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, no, I have a ton of respect for that. And the government is the administrative body for commerce. And a lot of people rely on it every day. And he's doing a better job than a Kamala Harris would.
He lives in a barrel of snakes. He is in hell.
Totally. Yeah. And then all the, you know, I think the Epstein stuff is obviously insane, but it's like, I don't know. I still think it's funny the way he handles it. And I know some people might think that I would be that's like normalizing, or I'm like signing. The way he handles things is funny. And in that world, powerful, intense alpha type dudes, there's always everybody in that world has a lot of appetites. And I saw that in Hollywood, and I'm just like, I just hope the appetites are at least somewhat reasonable. That's usually how I judge people. But, you know, that's my view on it. And that was my view on it when they were running for, when it was happening. And so now people could be like, oh, you're shilling for Trump. I'm like, I'm not changing. Before, when I was saying that he's not going to save me, you know, they were like, oh, you gotta get more pumped. I'm like, no, this is my opinion. It's been this way for years.
I mean, absolutely. We also have to look at, we know the Democrats are pure evil. And so because it's holier than thou to only cover when Trump does something that isn't perfect, I cover the bad stuff he does to try to get him back on the right track. But I don't then fetishize and just constantly attack him. What's your gut level on where we are and what's about to happen with Russia, Iran, the Democrats are in free fall? I mean, this is a wild time.
Yeah, and to your point, it's the same point as the humor thing. Like, there has to be a standard. So I'll listen to left-wing conspiracy guys just to know what they are reporting, but they never ever admit that compared to their people, they're always worse. So like, they'll be attacking Trump on something with like whatever, and it's like, okay, so what about Clinton and Obama? Like, that they're actively supporting, and that's when I'm always...
And they always misrepresent even what he did.
Yeah, totally. And they pretend that they care. Like, these are the same people that pushed trans kids and stuff. I'm like, I know you don't care about any of this stuff. You just want power, and that's usually why I start growing watermelon. But as far as everything else, I mean, I look for strange signs where it's like that commercial with that girl in it that was attractive that just happened. I'm like, oh man, they're trying to get dudes to fight in a war. You know, like sometimes I look at the media that's being released, and you know, because it takes a while to get people excited about fighting in a war, and they've been so horrible to men and so, you know, demoralizing with everyone being obese and gay and everything, that if as soon as we start seeing the movies and the TV and the commercials being more about like attractive women and guys winning at things, you know, they're probably trying to gear up for some kind of conflict. Because right now they couldn't. I don't even know how you would fight a war.
By the way, I don't know if you saw this. I saw some industry publications about 6 months ago when Trump first got in, saying the Pentagon is now putting white males in the ads again because they want white males to come back. So if that was your instinct,
no,
it's actually true.
Whoa.
They're actually trying to literally kind of do retro to get us ready for war. I think that's very astute what you just said.
Wow, that's because that's what increases testosterone, you know? So it's like, if you got everyone on soybeans looking at like some trans dude, they're not going to want to pick up a gun and fight. So at that point, you can't really fight any war. I mean, we have our professional military and we have our everything like that. But with drones and with a lot of these equalizing forces and these rising economies, you know, you're going to have to get dudes with actual testosterone in their testicles.
Well, that's it. Let's play the Sweeney ad that they're so mad about. But one a month ago is her walking up playing retro country music with a retro boombox from the 80s. And then they're demonizing that as racist when really it's nostalgia. And it's because the companies know they can't sell wokeism anymore. So they're just doing this. But the green light's been given to try to bring back nostalgia. As you said, it's all pre-World War garbage. Here it is.
You can take the dude out of the country. You can't take the country out of the dude. Wish you were here.
And so we have the left even calling country music racist now because it's white people.
Yeah, that's just their signal. That's their blasphemy stuff. You know, it's just like, it doesn't even make sense at this point. Like, no one can even define racism. But if I was just analyzing that as a social engineer, it's highlighting fertility areas of the female body. So she has like a body that looks like it's made for, you know, birthing and taking care of children, which is like trying to appeal to that type of male. And so it also is trying to increase that type of male in society, which I like because, you know,
But they've been suppressing it. And now suddenly not just American Eagle, they're all doing it. And you're absolutely right. So they figured out they went too far the other way. They're trying to trigger the other for war.
Yeah, yeah. They're trying to get men to be more competitive again and think about having babies. Because before it was all about lowering. I still think they're trying to depopulate, you know, the Noah Harari and all these guys. Like, I think they want less people in their AI world. But to motivate a male to go fight, it's always about the love of the homeland. It's never actually hate. Like, that's another one of these ridiculous claims where it's all about, like, you know, my wife, my child, my mother, my sister. It's all about protecting a woman. And so the men that they've socially engineered are just useless. So they can't get them to fight for anything except for, you know, they're just these nihilistic, bland. Like, there's no way you can't get them to dig a hole, you know, let alone go to Iran.
Well, you've hit on something here that I want to cover when we come back. And Communist China about 8 years ago said, we're not doing one child policy anymore, which they made a deal with Rockefeller to make them number one economically in the 70s to do it. And it took them decades to do it, but they did it. We're going to pay people to have three kids now. So they flipped the script. The West was doing it with birth control and chemicals and atrazine. And so now it's like, oh, China's going to go have more people and everybody else is. Russia's paying people to have kids. So now there's kind of a segue. And then when we come back, here is the Wall Street Journal of all places, the depopulation bomb. So they've gone from Paul Ehrlich and the population bomb to admitting if we don't have kids, we're doomed. So is this a shift in the establishment or is there some weird alchemy? We'll talk about it with Owen Benjamin on the other side. But there are major changes happening and there's a lot of different constellations of forces. We'll also talk about avoiding nihilism. Yeah, a lot of people think not caring is cool. No, you do that, your brain turns off and you start dying. Caring and being involved actually empowers you. It's not a burden. We'll be right back. Huge announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high-quality sheath with a high-tech clip onto your belt or your pants. And it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This
is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade. It's a symbol of freedom. Limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda, featuring a double-edged black-coated blade for unmatched durability and precision. This dagger is built to last. On one side is etched my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic, non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with methylene blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with methylene blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide. Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list, your text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the info war is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the info war. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Yeah, there's a storm on the loose, sirens in my head, wrapped up in silence, our circuits are dead. Can I be cold?
So hiding in plain view, the UN, the globalist, Paul Ehrlich, the Club of Rome, the WF, since the 60s have been calling to shut down industrial society, to sterilize the public through chemicals in the food and water and shots, and to end humanity, that we're a failed race. What a hateful message from the establishment. And then I've been exposing it for 31 years on air. I was aware of it growing up with my family that was informed. I've been saying this 40 years at least, since I was like 11 years old. And I show a Wall Street Journal article here as a point. I have seen the similar article to this 10,000 times probably. But why did I show the Wall Street Journal from 5 years ago, June 20th, 2020? looking forward to the end of humanity. I got other articles saying autism rates up and standard of living dropping is good. I have that article today. This is hiding in plain view. So 10 years ago, they'd say in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, I was insane. There is no depopulation plan. And Memorandum 200 from Henry Kissinger, 1974. But now, yesterday, the Wall Street Journal has the depopulation bomb and echoes what Elon Musk is saying, that's real actuaries, that if we don't have 2.1 kids, society will collapse. And suddenly they got ads saying, have kids and be proud of your genetics. So there's a big shift here in the technocracy, in the elites, that is bigger than them just trying to hijack our movement. I can tell you that. And a real elite would empower humanity, and if they're the elite, they'll be on top of it, not dumb everybody down so you can rule a bunch of zombies. So now you have an article that's the opposite of the article 5 years ago in the Wall Street Journal, saying get rid of people, they're bad, saying, well, no, we need more people. So this is fundamental. This is big. You can't say, oh, this is just, you know, doing this to lull us asleep. There's something bigger here. Owen Benjamin, what do you think's happening?
Man, I'm loving this conversation. This is exactly what I'm interested in. I think that a lot of the elites are unbelievably good at logistics and insanely bad at strategy. And so they are mind-bogglingly good at social engineering and alchemy and setting up these systems and getting people compliant and all that. But they're always so short-term thinking, and things never pan out the way that they think. They're like the coyote with the roadrunner. They just keep making these mistakes. And I think that they got over their skis a bit and now need more people, because people are actually the wealth of the world, you know. And I have four kids, so I made up for someone that doesn't want to do the 2.1. Oh, and I also want to quickly say that war also is a depopulation mechanism. So that is something to watch out for. You know, it's a way to get some of the bravest, strongest men to just run into nonsense. So just keep an eye out for that. But as far as this, I mean, people forget how wrong the globalists are constantly. Like, they get things wrong. They try things. They want things that they don't get.
Well, I mean, they said the ice caps would be melted 15 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And they're also very depressed people. A lot of them are extremely depressed. And so, yeah, they want all this stuff. And that's why my mentality, because I think the thing that they need the most is victim consciousness and learned helplessness. So that's why, as retarded as my life can be, you know, I'm up in the woods doing Ursa Rio, building benches out of wood, you know, out of trees we cut down to do a show like in the middle of the wilderness. And it's like just that little thing. It's not profitable. It's not, you know, whatever. But that little thing of like, then we'll just do it. You know, that's the thing that I think can really terrify the slave drivers.
No, Klaus Schwab says, and it's their whole agenda, you won't own anything. You won't own your car. You'll get a ride share. They're literally trying to put us in a prison and admitting it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And ownership is all about authority. It's all about taking responsibility. Like, you know, you own a house, you have to maintain it. You own a car, you have to change the oil.
You got horses in the barn. You get to know them. You take care of them. You love them. You don't just go ride somebody else's horses.
Exactly. And it is a balanced thing that they're trying to pull off. And so what they're offering is convenience and indulgence. It's like this Faustian ancient thing. It's like the devil's trick. So it's like,
and as you pointed out in the video I saw the other day, all the main tech people except for Elon are homosexuals. And I'm not attacking them just because I don't have to be nice to them. I mean, it's true, but whatever. My point is, they all didn't basically have dads. They had bad dads. And they're projecting their own loathing onto us and are actually jealous of those of us that are following the successful, proper biological code.
Yeah, and if you just look at sodomy just in a very objective physical thing, you have an area of the body that expels waste, and they associate that with fertility, which means that they're fundamentally inverted and in a feedback loop. And that's why I always make fun of gay guys. It's not because I have some deep hatred. I mean, some of my favorite people when I was in LA doing stand-up were, you know, gay comedians. Like, some of them are absolutely hilarious. But you can't have that be in any leadership position because their actions, their fruit is poop, literally poop. And they're in a lifestyle that is not sustainable by life. It is a determinant seed. And I did want to shout out my buddy's company. It's not mine, but Grateful Harvest Seeds for fertile seeds. Great dude. GratefulHarvestSeeds.com. Solid dude. But yeah, they're not fertile. We can make people.
No, you're right. Homosexuality is the terminator seed.
Exactly. And that's why even those guys are being used because they are the GMO or the GMO human. Like, because they don't have families, they can be the most controlled by then the spirit realm, you know, the demonic realm that wants that control. The gay guy, you know, it's a lot easier to convince the gay guy to be evil because they don't have anything to, they don't have as much to live for. You know, it's like
once I look at the EU Commission, almost none of them have children.
Yeah, exactly. Like as soon as I had a baby, you know, there was this rumor that I totally changed when I had one pot brownie with Joey Diaz. And although that was a very intense experience, it was when I had a kid. It was when I had a child. I said, the world's going to go on when I'm gone. And then things mattered more to me. I used to be more nihilistic. Like I've fallen asleep on the sidewalk before, like drunk. Like I wasn't raised.
No, it connects you to the past, the present, and the future when you have children. By the way, I've had a pot brownie with Joey Diaz as well. But yeah, we're at like 10, 12 years ago, we're at a UFC in Houston. And I'm not a big pot guy. He goes, oh, it's just a little brownie, no big deal. And I take it. He goes, that's like this many grams. Oh, my God. And I'm sitting there the whole night, can't even get up. I'm so high on it. Yeah, I didn't know your Joey Diaz story. We both have eaten Joey Diaz pot brownies.
300 milligrams. I was doing a podcast with him. And he's like, yo, dog, what dog? And it looked like it was like a demon. And I just left. Like, I've never done that before. I was just in a podcast. I'm like, dude, because I was feeling my arm. I'm like, that bone, like, isn't me. You know, I've never consumed anything close to that.
It wasn't a brownie. It was a cookie. But he goes, oh, my God, that was a huge dose. You're going to be able to. And I'm sitting there, like, literally, because I got there early in the fight. So I'm sitting there all the pre-fights. And I'm sitting there in the front row just like, oh, my God, I can't.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally, dude. I went out to get air, and I just left. And then I, like, left L.A. Like, I was just like, dude, I got to get out of here. And now I'm growing watermelon in Idaho. So maybe it was a factor. But having a kid is, you know, like it's called skin in the game. When you have skin in the game, then, you know, when you're an investor in the company, you work harder. When you have children that you love, you speak more truth because a lie, you see how innocent they are. And a lie can just ripple out and just become more and more destructive, you know? Oh, there's me right there. That's hilarious. Dude, I was gone. Like, gone, dude. And Diaz can eat like grams of that and be like, yo, what do you don't want to talk about today, dog? I checked out the news story. And I'm like, bro, I think you're a cartoon character right
now.
Well,
he's lost a lot of weight. He doesn't do as much pot now. He's lost a lot of weight.
And I'm not even judging. Like, you know, he represents himself as himself. And I always, you know, I don't like sneaks. I don't like deceptive people. I don't like people that try and corrupt.
He's the guy that finally got Joe to leave LA, though. God is old.
Yeah. No, Joey's got heart. You know.
What's going to happen to Hollywood's already dead. What's it going to do now? What's going to happen to California?
Oh man, I mean the AI thing. It's almost like they're in denial. It's like no one wants to talk about it. That all the writers are replaced. Like everything's done. You know, it's completely decentralized. Like I actually ended up leaving right at the right time. And it's got great weather, but I would never want to live there. And I think the decentralized nature of it is awesome now because there's so much talent out there. I see so many people making this awesome stuff. And AI is only going to replace people that don't embrace their spark, like their originality. And that's something I've always loved about you, man. It's like you've always done your thing. And that's the thing that makes you not replaceable by AI. If you're going to be a cog, you know, we got a tool for that. And
all AI does is scoop what everybody else did. It's plagiarism. And then we look at it and go, oh, it's so incredible. It's just, and like how, if a human does plagiarism, you get sued, you get shut down, but it's allowed to plagiarize.
Yeah, just a curator of everything from the past. And I think what could happen is it just becomes an abomination when it's a replica of a replica of a replica of a replica. That's why you need real living people to do unexpected things. And unexpected things usually make people want to kick you off platforms like you and me have faced. It's not because we're bad people. It's because a lot of people like the expected. And so if you do something original, they can get like nervous, but then
that's exactly what the Pentagon documents have said. And we even had the former head of the NSA and CIA come out years ago, and he said, "We're not looking for terrorists or bad people. We're looking for interesting people. We want to know who is going to be a change agent to control narratives that we won't control." They're scared of leaders that are independent and original.
100%, because humans are based on narratives, like the words, the spells. That's how people are guided. You know, force doesn't work that well unless you have compliance. That's why I'm not really worried about the UN boots kicking in the door unless people want that. You know, that's why I'm much more focused on culture because...
Oh, no, it's not going to be UN troops. Yeah. It's going to be self-driving cars, people just watching television all day and plugging into computers.
Yeah, I think Brave New World won that little Duke and Duke $1 bet. It's almost like that movie Trading Places where they put out these two books, you know, 1984 or Brave New World, which one's going to be better at human farming? And I think Brave New World won.
Oh, did you know that Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World in 1931, published 32, his brother created UNESCO, the UN, all of it. Did you know he wrote Brave New World Revisited? He gave a speech where he died in 61 at Berkeley saying, "We had a bet." And basically from the two different...
That really happened? That was real? They had a bet?
Well,
really?
He basically says there were two things. The jackboot thug control that Orwell thought, and he was all into it, and top propagandist at OSS. And he goes, "No, it's going to be the chemicals and making you love your servitude." And he said, "Our plan will work, and we've won." You know, they actually said it was competing plans.
Wow, that's real. That's how I viewed it. Like, that's how I viewed it. That's
so you
wild.
Just picked that up from the ether, though. That's actually what happened.
I got the ether download on that one. Yeah. It's like, because if you think about it with parenting too, you see it in the fractals, you see it everywhere. It's like, it's so hard to force your kids to do anything. If a 2-year-old doesn't want to sit in a car seat, I'm 6'8", 260 pounds. It's like, it's an issue. But if you get them to want to using propaganda, like songs, you know, it's like, who wants to brush their teeth? You know, you become a propagandist.
Oh, the rabbit loves to get in this car seat.
Exactly.
And it gets a cookie when it does.
Yeah, and if you're by a pond and you forgot life jackets or something, you're like, there's a monster in that pond. You know, there's weapons of mass destruction in the pond. And they're like, "Oh, we've got to stay away from the pond." I'm like, dude, this,
well, that's what fairy tales are. It was mind control. They're like, "Oh, don't, when you're out in the woods, don't talk to a man. He turns into a wolf and eats you." That's teaching you how to get kidnapped. But if you told them there's bad men, well, they know you as a man. So our topic, well, men are nice. You got to go, "No, it acts like it's an old lady, but it's a wolf." And then you got to...
Oh, that's brilliant. I never observed that. Dude, that's a brilliant observation. They use animals to kind of offload it, to get the blowback to a wolf and not you because you're a man. That's and operas used to do that. I teach piano, too, and courses.owenbenjamin.com if anybody wants to learn family-friendly piano with... a focus on some esoterics, but opera was how the emperor would control his dominion. It was the storylines. That's why they would get in these huge battles about the marriage of Figaro and all this stuff, because those storylines people would start mimicking and acting out. And that's why, I try to give people the most wholesome storyline I can for their life. That's authentic to my life, even though, you know, I have a lot of my own mistakes and problems, but I like a good storyline for people because you can see them flourish in it.
Wow. Well, we got to get you back again to talk about farming and all the rest of it, but just in general, what are you positive about, but also what are you most concerned about in society?
I'm concerned with nihilism. I'm concerned with people giving up. You know, I'm concerned with, because there's a lot of real problems out there. You know, I just did a stream yesterday, ladle.tv, about Gen Z, where you have people that look at a 2-bedroom house for $1 million. They see, materialistic women that are just seeking out the same alpha male types that sleep with everybody. They're like, they don't want to be shamed or mocked online. They're awkward around women. They don't know like how to invest in a career because things are changing so fast. And I feel for those people. And that's why, you know, my generation and my hometown, it's not even generation. My hometown's still like this.
No, they've totally lost their humanity. It's so scary. And I'm not saying I'm like the best looking guy anywhere, but I go out and do stuff. And just because I'll look a woman in the eyes, and most men, women tell me, they go, men don't look us in the eyes. They won't even talk to us. And because I'll look at a woman in the eyes, it's like, and when we're like, men don't look us in the eyes anymore. Men are scared of us. We don't like it. Well, they taught men they were bad if they did that with all the Gillette commercials and everything. And it's just crazy just to look at a woman now, and they just completely melt because no man's looking at them.
Dude, that's what I keep trying to tell these people. I'm like, it's never been easier for you guys. Because all the like women act like these materialistic prostitutes a lot of times as a defense mechanism. Look them in the eye. Listen to them. You know, like, that goes so far, and women are very malleable. They kind of adapt to their guy. Like, a chick will be super into snowboarding, and then she'll be like really into homesteading. A lot of it is based on the guy they're with, and you don't need a ton of money. You know, you don't know where things are going to go. The future is very bright for everything that looks bad. You know, like, there's not a lot of stability, or you don't know what the future is going to hold. And back in the day, you could have your 401k and the company watch. Well, the good side is you can start a business from your phone. You can change quickly and adapt. You can have a very exciting life. And so that's the thing that culturally, that's the thing that I'm the most concerned about. And, you know, I was raised to make fun of weakness. Like, men, if someone's acting weak, you call them gay, you make fun of them. And then they try to adapt to be stronger again. And a lot of young people, I find, They react almost like when you make fun of a woman or like a super gay man, where they're like, but my feelings are hurt, you know?
Exactly. They imprison you. You can't ever handle any stress. Well, plants don't grow in zero gravity. They got to have wind. They got to have stress. And that's, I mean, thank God I was on the tail end of, you know, don't be a wimp, you know, whatever. And, you know, stuff might have been a little too extreme sometimes. I mean, we were hiking up some mountain when I was like 8 years old, and I had this earache. My dad said, don't be a wimp. And he wasn't like Mr. Tough Guy, but yes, he was. And, you know, at the top of the mountain, my eardrum bursts and all this pus comes out. And it felt better after that. And my dad's like, good, you're a man. You know, see how it works. But, you know, it's just, that would be like abusive today to act like that.
Yeah. And there is, I understand why that, like, some of that was corrected. I mean, I know guys, a guy fell off a ladder with his brothers and dad, and he literally broke his back, and they kept calling him a hard F. You know, the pejorative that I won't use. I don't know where this is being broadcast. You know, and they're like mocking him, and he has a broken back, you know, like, or like me playing piano. You know, like, there's a lot of families where I'd be called a homo or a queer or whatever. And that's, you know, but you have to be able to take that.
Yeah, no, there's other extremes on the other side. That goes too far too, but now we've gone way too far the other way.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and you're not helping anybody. You know, you're not helping anybody by sparing them.
Well, I was like 11 years old and got beaten up at the bus stop by like four older kids. And I come home with double black eyes. My dad wasn't Mr. Tough Guy or anything. And I go, Dad, I want you to call their parents. I want you to do something. And he goes, well, why didn't you fight back? I did. And he said, well, did you pick up a rock? Did you do something? He goes, why don't you fight harder next time? Well, about 6 months later, something similar happened. It was one of the same guys. And it was actually, wow, there's actually a piece of concrete right here. And I basically put the guy's eye out. I'm 12 years old. The police come. All this happens. The witnesses say I did it. My dad said, good job. And it was like, and then I kind of went too extreme into that because my dad gave me this authority and, you know, that. But it was the, you know.
But see, if you always go to dad and dad fixes it, and if your dad had made that call, that's what leads to down the road of centralized global control and cars that drive themselves, because the kid becomes a man. And so if your instincts are, whenever I have a problem, the central authority will fix it.
Well, and he told me, he said, oh, you got four guys that are all older beating you up? Get a weapon. He told me. And I actually did it when I saw. I was like, there's the weapon. And I did it. And they all ran once I, you know, literally put the guy's eye out.
That's so intense. That's awesome. Yeah, that's great, man.
Now, I remember hitting him and the guy fell down. And I was all jelly coming out. At that moment was like, wow, this feels good. But you know what? They started it.
Yeah, they did start it, and they were. Is there swearing?
Well, you're like 7 feet tall, so you haven't been any problems, but yeah.
No, I've had some huge hits in sports like football and lacrosse, But I've never like used a weapon on a guy's face. That sounds intense, especially if you're justified. You know, I'm not judging that. I think that's the right move, but that sounds so intense.
No, he literally said, why don't you pick up a rock? Why don't you? And it was the funny thing is like 6 months later, it was some of the same guys, and they're like, you know, 15 years old or whatever. And my point was, it was like, my dad said this, boom, you know, and then it was just like, but then it put me on that path of, you know, a little too much the extreme, but it's better than the other extreme of being a pussy.
I think so. I think it's way better than being a pussy. Definitely. Yeah. My dad sang opera, but he was stable. So I had like, I was more middle ground with that. Like I understand the globalists with like fruity dads. Like I get that, but my dad was home, provided for my mom. They're still married, but he never gave me that type of masculine advice. So I understand that road, but fortunately I had a strong older brother and the guys in my neighborhood were like Spartan psychos. So it's like, I that's why I think I have a good range of vision as far as how people are acting, because I have that artistic family side, but also I was raised with that very brutal masculinity, you know?
Absolutely. It's crazy. Well, Trump's 79 under such stress. I'm, you know, he works 20 hours a day. And my biggest concern is he can't keep it up. I mean, it is insane.
Yeah, no, totally. He should just pull a Bush and just golf more, just like chill. I wonder if he's if that's something he can even do, or if there's too much stress. Don't you feel like everything's getting more stressed? It's almost like the time is going faster or something.
It seems like no, I totally agree. It's insane.
Yeah, it's like there was a time when any of these news stories would be like the year's story. And now it's like every day, just bang, bang. And it almost feels like there's a singularity approaching where the world is becoming like a joke almost. And that's one thing that I'm working on as far as nihilism, is not to just laugh at everything, where it's like, I want Trump to do well. I want the president to do well. I want America to do well. Like, so, but everything's being framed as a joke now. I think Elon talked about that, because I called something Owen's Law, where the funniest outcome is the most likely. And then someone showed me that he actually tweeted before that the most entertaining outcome is the most likely. And I think there's something to that. And the pace is getting wild.
I totally agree with you. All right. Well, Owen Benjamin, people can find you at owenbenjamin.com and ladle.tv. And let's get you back again soon to, let's do a farming special. And I know you don't say you're the expert farmer. You're just a guy out doing it and having fun. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, that's what makes it relatable, because I'm not even that good at it. That's why people can watch it. Yeah, dude, you can come over sometime. We'll do it together. We'll milk a cow.
And it's a drug, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's the alpaca. They love getting sprayed with water. Yeah, it's super powerful.
Oh, my God. All right.
Well, thanks for having me, pal.
You bet, buddy. We'll be right back. I'm only as strong as you are backing me. You figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason, because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to the alexjonesstore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history, maybe the biggest. Store-wide buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Boost Your Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything, all of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back and then some, simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. You need to try our Ultra Methylene Blue, but talk to your physician first. And if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check those interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish Sea Moss. Get the Shilajit. The pills, the gummies. It's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% cumanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com, and the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like it's I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones